erase board without erasing as you go. I never thought about that. But yeah, if you're a lefty and you're right, your hand is erasing it as you move down the board. For my daughter, when she was in kindergarten, she couldn't use the scissors they gave her because right-handed scissors tend not to cut well if you're a lefty. And so we got her these blunt left-handed scissors, and the school said, no, you can't bring your own stuff in here. She's going to have to learn to do it righty. Oh, yeah? How about you learn to do it lefty? I'm going to sock them in the nose. But anyway, so she couldn't use any left-handed stuff. She had to use the school's right-handed stuff, which was really ticking me off. You know, it didn't bother me that it's the way they said it at the time, which bothered me. She's going to have to learn. She did have to learn how to play a clarinet righty. And she got through life. She's in her 40s now. She got through life doing it. But the scissors thing always bothered me. All right. Sixth District Alder Sandy Widener's in. We'll be talking in the 7 o'clock hour here at WRJN. 7 o'clock on the noggin. Let's check news. Top of the hour, here's CBS.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Election Day is finally here, and polls have begun to open. While more than 81 million people have already cast ballots, millions more have been waiting.
I want to do mine in person because I know it counts.
I'm old school, so I wanted to vote on the day of, as I normally do.
The big draw for most, the presidential election, which polls show is still very close, especially in 7 key battleground states. Kamala Harris got some high-profile help from Lady Gaga at her last stop in Pennsylvania. Harris spoke on the famous Rocky Steps in front of the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
One more day, just one more day in the most consequential election of our lifetime, and the momentum is on our side.
Former President Donald Trump held his last rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Over the past 4 years, Americans have suffered one catastrophic failure, betrayal, and humiliation after another.
He flew back to Palm Beach early this morning to watch the election results from there after he got an endorsement from podcaster Joe Rogan. Voters will not only be deciding the next president and the balance of power in Congress, in 10 states they'll decide on abortion rights. Safety is top of mind at polling places and for the people working and volunteering.
Election officials are your neighbors and friends.
Derek Bowens is the elections director in Durham County, North Carolina. He says they've stepped up safety measures, including
staff at the front desk actually sit behind bulletproof glass, and each of them have duress buttons that they can press.
He says, remember, poll workers are mostly volunteers who work long hours, but
I think there's a lot of comfort in the fact that we have a secure facility that is furnished with all of these things.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting an investigation's underway into electric massagers that went up in flames after overseas flights. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
A source familiar with the matter says U.S. law enforcement is coordinating with European partners to determine if incendiary devices detonated in July at DHL logistics hubs in Germany and the U.K. were part of a larger operation directed by Russian intelligence services.
Mission impossible? Not for toddlers. Here's CBS's Michael George.
A study by Johns Hopkins had 2 and 3-year-olds pick randomized colored toys from a machine. The toddlers were surprised when they drew an uncommon color, seemingly understanding how probability works.
S&P futures are up 14, Dow futures ahead 64. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. The Racine County Sheriff's Office is investigating the death of a man at the Kenosha County Jail. Kenosha County officials say a 39-year-old inmate at the jail died Sunday after being found unresponsive in his cell. Medical staff were called to the scene, but despite efforts to revive him, he couldn't be saved. We're working on learning more. The art community in Racine is mourning the loss of the longtime director of the Theater Guild. Norman McPhee served as the managing artistic director of the Racine Theater Guild from 1969 to 2001. He passed away Sunday at the age of 88. During his time at the RTG, he directed over 200 productions and played a key role in expanding the theater's programming and facilities. Details about a memorial and service have not yet been announced. Free rides to polling stations are available across the area. In Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha, an organization called Souls to the Polls are picking people up to vote. The Racine Interfaith Coalition has a phone number listed for people to call to get a ride to the polls, as does an organization called Leaders of Kenosha. Those contact numbers are at WRJN.com. Don't forget to bring your ID when you vote. You can see your ballot and where you can vote at civicmedia.us/vote. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Changes for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. More roster changes for the Brewers. First baseman Jake Bowers and pitcher Bryce Wilson will not return to the team, both becoming free agents. Pitcher Frankie Montes declining his option to return to the crew. Both he and Colin Ray also headed a free agency. The Brewers GM, Matt Arnold, has been named baseball's Executive of the Year. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers opened their season with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross at the Kohl Center. NBA, the Bucks losing in Cleveland, 116-114. Damian Lillard had 36 points. The Bucks off to an ugly 1-6 start.
Just because it's a 1-6 start, like you said, it's ugly. You know what I mean? But when you look at the big picture, you know, it's such a long season. It's 75 games left. I've been part of teams that have won 16 straight, 14 straight. You know, you just sometimes you just get in a ditch.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy, windy, drizzly with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s, dropping fairly quickly by later this evening. Tonight, 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 55. Then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Go out into the world without your phone. You ever do that? You ever leave your phone behind? By mistake, of course. You wouldn't do it intentionally. But just go out about the day without your phone. Oh, what a great day. Once you get past the crying and the dry heaving and tugging on strangers' pant legs, asking for help, once you get through all of that, it's a magical day. You just walk around with your own thoughts, just thinking about stuff. Wow, this must be what Benjamin Franklin felt like. Could you imagine traveling without your phone? Could you imagine leaving tomorrow, going to the airport, getting on a plane, and leaving for 3 days without your phone? Oh, terrifying idea. How'd you even get to the airport? That's a good question. How did you get to the airport? Is Uber responding to smoke signals now? What happens once you're at the airport and they change your flight or they change your gate? How are you gonna know? You're not gonna know. You're just gonna wander the halls of the airport until you die. You're going to die at the airport on the floor outside of a Hudson News. That's filled with things that could save you if only you had Apple Pay.
Sixth District Alder in Racine, and Sandy Widener's here. It is terrifying if you forget your phone, isn't it?
It is.
I mean,
absolutely. You rely on it for everything.
And you said you forgot your phone, what, yesterday?
I thought I forgot my phone. It had rolled under the seat of the car.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, oh, I have to go back and get my phone or I can't get into my computer.
I forgot my phone once. And I wasn't really going anywhere. I was just going to, like, get gas for the, and I'm like, I can't breathe. I need oxygen. I need CPR. I can't. Does anybody know CPR? I forgot my phone. And when I lived in Atlanta and I moved to Milwaukee, my wife and daughter stayed behind in Atlanta while I got settled in up here. I drove from Atlanta to Milwaukee in the middle of the night, 24 hours straight without any phones. Because it was 1980. No cell phones. And I drove all by, you know, I got through, you know, my mother said, I want you to call me at every stop, collect. I don't care what hour of the day or night it is, you make sure you call me. I don't want to be up all night worrying about you. So every time I found a truck stop or something, I made my call to my mother, collect. I said, I'm here. She said, call me at the next one. I'll be expecting it like a threat. So anyway, yeah, people who don't, cell phones are like, I mean, I remember when I got this cell phone, the first iPhone I got, And I said, make phone calls on it. Boy, was I wrong.
In 1983, a union organized for AFSCME local. Council 40, and I was mostly in Northwest Wisconsin, going to all these obscure little VFWs, and no cell phone, no GPS. You just have to find where it is you have to go.
I know.
With a map.
And it's scary when you forget it. Now you really can't breathe. Oh, should I go back? Should I go forward? Should I go back? And it is frightening, because now you depend on people. Well, call me when you get there. Or you want to follow them on Find My Phone to make sure they get to where they're going safely.
Oh, yeah.
And think about this. In about 20 or 30 years from now, this will be nothing. There'll be other things to take the place of the cell phone.
Well, I'll leave that to people like Elon Musk to figure out what those things will be.
I won't be here. So how are things? Well, first of all, the 6th District, the Sandy Widener 6th District Alder. Where's the 6th District? Why don't you tell people who don't, you know, you're not the overseer of their district, but for people outside the 6th District.
So mine is pretty large. It starts in between Graceland and Mound Cemetery up by Kinsey Avenue, up the hill from Rupert Drive. And then it goes all the way around Colonial Park, Lincoln Park, Island Park. It goes all the way almost to Horlick High School, out covers the planets, covers the area past the dam, back in the back area where Old Mill Road. It goes all the way out to Johnson Park Golf Course.
You got the nice scenic spot.
I do. I like to say that the 6th District looks like Italy, and I live in the toe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I recently... Do you hear something? I heard a dog barking. There was a dog in here yesterday, but maybe he's still around here somewhere. I recently found Colonial Park because a good friend of ours, Carol Gianforte, wrote a book about growing up in Racine, and she talked to a little girl going to Colonial Park. So my wife and I traced it to see exactly where she was. And that's the one in back of the hatchery, right?
Well, that's Lincoln Park. But then if you go west, northwest of it, is Colonial Park.
Right, it's near there, right next to it.
So the golf course, the Washington Park Golf Course, leads into Island Park. Island Park leads into Lincoln Park. Lincoln Park leads into Colonial Park. And beautiful pathways back there. And we have some devoted individuals that really spend a lot of time, you know, putting in native plants and pulling out invasive species, taking care of, especially Colonial Park. It's really very beautiful.
You know, my wife and I, in our old age here, decided we have to walk. And so we walk on that. I don't know if you heard of the Pike River Trail.
But I'm trying to recall where it is.
Yeah, I'll tell you where it is. You can get to it off Spring Street if you want. That's the back end, the north end of it. Actually, it goes all the way from Racine all the way into Illinois, but just our part of it's 1.7 miles. And when you go take a walk on that, it's like you're in the middle of nowhere. You can't see buildings, homes. You can't hear cars. You're lost in this preserve with wildlife and milkweed and all these plants, and it's just great to walk it. Now, my wife and I were sitting, they have benches all along the way in case you get tired. You just want to relax, you know, relax. So we're walking, and this older lady comes by, and she's got the walking sticks going 200 miles an hour. And I say, oh, do you need the bench? She goes, bench? I'm not going to sit on a bench. And my wife says, you know what? I just think we were bench shamed. We're sitting on this bench. Then we have a guy at church who rides a tandem bike with his wife, and he's riding it, you know, through there. This happened twice, and both times, oh, there are the Rosens, and we're sitting on a bench. He must think we don't walk. We do walk. We're the 1.7 miles, but, you know, you like to enjoy it. Just sit down and hear the birds, the ducks, the geese, and yeah, it's nice. There were so many nice places in the Racine area.
Absolutely.
Just get away from everything. Absolutely. So, all right, so we're going to talk in a moment here. And we're going to talk about the district. And my clock is, I don't know what happened to it. I mean, there it is. We're going to talk about the district. You've got other things we're going to talk about, like Toys for Tots, the boycott that was just recently in the council. We'll talk about that. Sandy Widener, our 6th District Alder, is here. And we've got more to come with Sandy in just a moment. But first,
On your entertainment feed, I'm Pete Schwabba. Barbenheimer 2.0 is just around the corner with films Gladiator 2 and Wicked kicking off the holiday box office season in a couple weeks. However, last weekend's box office did not impress. The movie Here, starring Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, landed with a thud on opening weekend. Here did not review particularly well, and audience approval is hovering at around 60%. The film whiffed big time with only a $5 million opening weekend, which landed it in fifth place overall. Repeating as box office champ following its opening weekend is Venom: The Last Dance. The third and final chapter of DC's Venom franchise took in $26 million domestically. Rounding out the top five are The Wild Robot in second place, Smile 2 at number 3, and Conclave at number 4. Another disappointment at the box office was Liam Neeson's new action film Absolution, which finished in 12th place, barely cracking $1 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now, not tonight because we have a special election coverage on AM 540 WAUK, but the rest of the weeknights, it's Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 o'clock, WAUK, AM 540. But right now,
who is Brian Style trying to fool with all his negative ads? Style voted against aid for veterans exposed to toxic burn pits. And Brian Style voted to cut funding for 500 local police officers and cut funding to crack down on fentanyl traffickers. Peter Barca has always put Wisconsin before party politics, and that's what he'll do in Congress. Veterans at the VFW Post 1865 gave Peter Barca an award because he's always fought for them. Peter made it easier for disabled veterans to collect their benefits. And he was the legislative leader who worked with veterans groups to put a POW MIA monument in the Capitol Rotunda to honor our heroes. To keep us safe, Peter Barca helped put 100,000 more police officers on the beat. And he led the fight to secure survivor benefits for those killed in the line of duty. That's why law enforcement leaders and veterans have always supported Peter Barca.
I'm Peter Barca, candidate for Congress, and I approve this ad.
Paid for by Citizens for Peter Barca.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
$100 million. That's how much Eric Hovde spent in attack ads lying about Tammy Baldwin.
What's the real difference between them?
Tammy Baldwin has worked with Republican and Democratic presidents to bring manufacturing jobs back from China to Wisconsin.
Eric Hovde invests in companies that outsource Wisconsin jobs.
Tammy has taken on the big pharmaceutical companies to lower prices.
Hovde wants to restore their sweetheart deal so they can jack up prices.
Tammy Baldwin has always protected Social Security and Medicare.
Hovde has a plan to slash both to pay for trillions in new tax breaks for rich guys like him.
And Tammy Baldwin is leading the fight to restore Roe v. Wade.
Eric Hovde would back a national abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest.
Eric Hovde's millions can't hide the truth.
Tammy Baldwin's the one working for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Local news and timeless hits. It's our renewed commitment to Racine. For 97 years, people have depended on WRJN for local news, and we continue that tradition hourly every weekday. Now, along with Brewers, Badgers, Packers, Bucks, and high school sports, WRJN features the timeless hits that lifts everyone's spirits. Hometown Radio Refreshed with local news and timeless hits. WRJN.
And with me is 6th District Alder. Boy, that's tough. 6th District Alder. Sandy Widener is here with me talking about a variety of topics. Let's talk about Toys for Tots. It's Tex Reynolds Toys for Tots. Are you on the committee for that? Do you help?
I am not on the committee. As a matter of fact, I was at the yard arm the other day, and I ran into the director from...
Having sand dollars at the...
Absolutely. You know,
With Parmesan on it?
With the Parmesan on it. Yeah. Thank God their menu hasn't changed too much.
Okay.
Yeah. So I ran into the executive director from Toys R Us, and he was kind of laying out, you know, letting us know that right now is the application process. If people are in need of toys or anything for their children for Christmas, now is the time to apply. And we also talked about, you know, he's in Tex Reynolds Toys for Tots is in the City Hall Annex in the lower level, like we like to call it. And they have a much smaller space, and they're kind of struggling to pay their rent, which has grown substantially over the last couple of years. So I just want to make people aware that Tex Reynolds Toys for Tots can always use your support. And also, if you're in need of gifts for your children, please reach out. Now is the application time for Toys for Tots.
Do you hear that noise?
I think that's my knee.
Oh, that's... What is that? Your knee's got a squeak in it? What is
that? Well, it's my knee rubbing on your desk.
What is that noise? And that, when you get those kind of noises, you don't pay attention to anything else. You're just looking around the room. Where is that noise coming from?
I probably should have said I brought in a cricket.
It all started happening when Earl Ingram came in for the station. I said, what's Earl doing? And they're making that cricket noise. Okay, so Toys for Tots and Tex Reynolds Toys for Tots. They collect toys, and not every family can afford Christmas toys for their children.
That is correct.
And you hate to be, think back when you were a kid, Christmas morning, you were so excited. Imagine Christmas morning, you're so excited. Nothing's there. I know that's not the meaning of Christmas, but when you're 4, 5, 6 years old, that's what you think about. Toys. All your friends have them. Why don't you have them? This way, they get them.
And absolutely. And as an adult, I relied on Toys for Tots for 1 year when my oldest children were very small. And that's something you never forget, that, you know, you felt kind of desperate because you couldn't supply the kind of Christmas you wanted to for your children. So what do? And I did reach out to Toys for Tots, and, you know, they were very helpful in helping my children have a Merry Christmas.
Do you remember the toys you got as a kid?
I do.
I do. You know, I think back now and say, what were my parents thinking? They got me, and you can look it up online. It's the Yankee Doodle Missile Launcher. I got it in 1960. And you would launch it was like a silo. Keep in mind the times back then, the Cold War and everything. And so the silo would, the bay doors would open up, and you'd shoot this plastic missile at somebody. I mean, this thing had a point on it. It got you in the eye. It got you in a bad spot. It hurt. What were my parents thinking about getting me a missile launcher to aim at people?
You'll shoot your eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out. This would do it. The other thing, they got me cardboard bricks. You put together the cardboard bricks and you stack them up. You have a brick wall, cardboard.
Yep.
What did my parents get me for Christmas? They got me some cardboard.
Well, it beats coal.
What did you get? Anything good?
I can remember my bike with the banana seat and the high handlebars.
Oh, I got one of those. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that very well. And I had gotten a Chatty Cathy, which was a big deal.
Chatty Cathy is on my list here. Oh, it's yesterday's list. I don't have it with me. It's one of the toys. Let's see if I still have it here. It was one of the toys. I'll see, look later. That people say the inspirational and influential toys. They had Barbie, G.I. Joe, Chatty Cathy was
on
there.
The Barbie
pull
doll.
The string and.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like the Twilight Zone. It would say, "Hi, Sandy. I don't like you."
Well, mine did not say that.
Like that talking Tina doll on the Twilight Zone. You ever see that episode? Telly Savalas?
No, I watched a lot of Twilight Zone, but not that one.
He was mean to his stepdaughter. And he used to take, "You're not having this doll today." And her name was Talking Tina. And she said, I'm talking Tina. And I don't think I like you. And the mother and the stepdaughter wouldn't hear the doll say that. Only Telly Savalas would hear it. "I'm talking Tina. And I'm going to kill you."
Well, sounds like he deserved it.
You know how he died? Talking Tina got out of the garbage pail. And you never see the dog walk. And was by the step. And he was coming down the steps and tripped over. I mean, that's how he died. See, I don't allow any talking dolls after watching that episode. I got to play you something. Before we get to some serious topics here, I got to play this for you. This is Dana Carvey talking about running for election if you have like a strange name. Anyway, listen to that. You'll like this.
And then Barack Hussein Obama. What a likable, charismatic character. What an intriguing part of our political land. You know, to show me how brilliant he is as a politician, the first thing he had to do was overcome that name. And I don't think there's a tougher name to run for president in America, honestly, than Barack Hussein Obama. What could be harder? Hi, I'm Charles Manson. Hitler, I'd like your vote. Charles Manson, Hitler cares about the people. Charles Manson, Hitler will stand up to the special interests. Isn't it time you took another look at Charles Manson, Hitler? I'm Charles Manson, Hitler, and I approve this ad. Then they'd have attack ads. Charles Manson Hitler is a tax and spend liberal. Paid for by the committee to elect O.J. Scott Peterson president.
So what's in a name? You got to admit that is funny stuff.
That is funny.
How would you, I mean, it is difficult to run if you have a really bad name.
It would be. Yes, it would. I'm trying to think of some.
Well, Barack Hussein Obama, that was a tough name to run with. And he did it twice, but...
Well, he didn't use his middle name. He just was Barack.
Yeah, but the opposition used it. They always made sure it was Hussein whenever they said it. Sixth District Alder Sandy Whitener is here. We've got some serious topics we're going to talk about in just a moment. But first, we've got Paul Harvey and the rest of the story.
Now, the rest of the story. Phyllis and Jerry were the best of friends. Two New York models in search of adventure. Now, today, modeling is as glamorous and arduous a profession as a young girl could enter. And it was much the same when Phyllis and Jerry embarked on their careers. Phyllis was the more beautiful of the two and the more aggressive. After studying at Connecticut College for Women, she moved to New York City and became a fashion model for the Powers Agency. She was so captivating, so extraordinarily photogenic, that she was soon established in the business. Meanwhile, Phyllis's friend Jerry is still in college. Jerry relished Phyllis's success, followed all of the fashion magazines in which Phyllis appeared, indulged in her exciting career vicariously. Then one day, Jerry received a letter from Phyllis, and in New York, she, Phyllis, had met a young man named Harry Conover, dashing, intelligent, and enterprising. He had seen her photographs. He was struck by her uncommon beauty, so struck that he wanted to start his own modeling agency with Phyllis as his starring attraction. Naturally, Jerry was delighted for Phyllis, but the next paragraph of her letter revealed the rest of the story. They needed money. Harry needed financial assistance, a capital investment to get his agency started, say $1,000. That's how Jerry joined friend Phyllis in the glamorous modeling industry, first as an investor, $1,000 of Jerry's own money, but ultimately as a model as well. And this represented a bold stroke for Jerry, who was basically shy and conservative. Risks had never been fun. Indeed, Jerry had never invested in anything before. But here was the surprise. It just so happened that the camera loved Jerry. Jerry proved to be a fabulous model. So Harry Conover, never imagining such a bonus at the outset, now found himself manager of two hot properties. In fact, Phyllis and Jerry were so good. Now listen to this. In the winter of 1940, they were offered a contract. They were offered a spread in Look magazine. I mean a six-page spread. The theme was a hilarious holiday on skis. These two attractive young students who spend the weekend together at a ski resort in Vermont. Every aspect of the getaway weekend was photographed. 9 o'clock Friday evening in Grand Central Station, the train ride. Breakfast at Green Mountain Inn. Antics on the ski slope back at the ski lodge. 21 photographs in all, including that very last one in which Phyllis and Jerry at 6 o'clock on Monday morning kiss each other goodbye on the mouth, passionately. The only way you could get away with that in Look magazine in March of 1940 is the way which surely by now you've guessed. Jerry was Phyllis's real-life boyfriend. It was he who invested $1,000 toward furthering her career. Yet he wound up a New York model himself, a male model. The only reason you never knew him as a male model was that he eventually landed another girlfriend named Betty and an even better job as President of the United States. That's right. That sleek, chic, fashion model with the ultra photogenic face was Gerald Ford. Now you know the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey and the rest of the story, again this afternoon with Cindy Huber at 12.05 p.m. And don't forget to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You could be one of four category exclusive businesses. The sponsor, Paul Harvey, and the rest of the story, 7:30 on the noggin. Let's quickly check news now, and here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Racine County Sheriff's Office is investigating the death of a man at the Kenosha County Jail. Kenosha County officials say a 39-year-old inmate at the jail died Sunday after being found unresponsive in his cell. Medical staff were called to the scene, but despite efforts to revive him, he couldn't be saved. We're working on learning more. The art community in Racine is mourning the loss of the longtime director of the Theater Guild. Norman McPhee served as the managing artistic director of the Racine Theater Guild from 1969 to 2001. He passed away Sunday at the age of 88. During his time at the RTG, he directed over 200 productions and played a key role in expanding the theater's programming and facilities. Details about a memorial and service have not yet been announced. Free rides to polling stations are available across the area. In Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha, an organization called Souls to the Polls are picking people up to vote. The Racine Interfaith Coalition has a phone number listed for people to call to get a ride to the polls, as does an organization called Leaders of Kenosha. Those contact numbers are at WRJN.com. Don't forget to bring your ID when you vote. You can see your ballot and where you can vote at civicmedia.us/vote. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
$100 million. That's how much Eric Hovde spent in attack ads lying about Tammy Baldwin.
What's the real difference between them?
Tammy Baldwin has worked with Republican and Democratic presidents to bring manufacturing jobs back from China to Wisconsin.
Eric Hovde invests in companies that outsource Wisconsin jobs.
Tammy has taken on the big pharmaceutical companies to lower prices.
Hovde wants to restore their sweetheart deal so they can jack up prices.
Tammy Baldwin has always protected Social Security and Medicare.
Hovde has a plan to slash both to pay for trillions in new tax breaks for rich guys like him.
And Tammy Baldwin is leading the fight to restore Roe v. Wade.
Eric Hovde would back a national abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest.
Eric Hovde's millions can't hide the truth.
Tammy Baldwin's the one working for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Commodity groups and farm organizations definitely encouraging the rural population to get out and vote. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, one of those. We'll hear from him next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, reminding all farmers, rural community members, and agribusiness owners, your vote matters today. And it's not just about the presidential election. He said there is responsibility at all tiers of government that could impact Wisconsin agriculture.
Food is vital to sustain life on a daily basis, so farmers are really doing it what the bishop in La Crosse Diocese once said, you are doing God's work. And providing the food and fiber for everyday life. And so, can we make a difference in what happens in the future? Yes. voice. And we've always talked about within the organization how your voice really does matter, whether it's at the county level, the state level, or the national level, in making sure that your farm or your business can stay in business and prosper for generations to come.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. As we lean into Election Day Tuesday, markets a little stronger in overnight trade. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
So the dairy trade on Monday wasn't impressed with all the poll activity. Barrel cheese dropped another 0.75 cents to 186. 40-pound block cheese on Monday was down 0.75 cents to 183. Double-A butter gained another 0.5 cents to 267.5 per pound. This morning, December new crop corn's unchanged at 417. November new crop beans are up a nickel at 987. January beans up 2 at 999 a bushel. The December wheat is up 3 at 572. July new crop wheat up a penny and a half right now at 606. That's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into an election Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
It is going to be cloudy, windy, drizzly, with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s, dropping fairly quickly by later this evening. Tonight, 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 55. Then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
I'm going to talk about my kids, so I should tell you their names. My kids are named Ash, Axel, and Addie, and independently, those are all great names. Together, it is a disaster. It's such a weird, mean thing to do to grandparents, to bring over three kids and be like, here are your grandkids. They're just... Old people need words that sound massively different in their pronunciation. It's why Lipitor doesn't rhyme with arsenic. You need a safety buffer. I'm not going to tell you whose idea it was to give all three of our kids A names. I will only tell you that my name is Seth and my wife's name is Alexi. A lot of times people say, oh, Alexi, you must get her name mixed up with the kids' names as well because it's also an A name. And I don't. I would say the hardest thing about having a wife named Alexi is how often our Alexa thinks I'm talking to it. And making matters worse, I only use my wife's first name when we're fighting and I'm being passive aggressive, which means our Alexa often says things like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean by we all can't be as perfect as you.
We're playing the degree game, how many degrees we are away from people. And since our general manager once gave Barack Obama a cigarette before he was president, that makes me 2 degrees away from Barack Obama. And I'm 2 degrees away from John Kennedy because I know Nell Minow, whose dad was FCC commissioner. And there's a picture. I just showed you the picture of her with John Kennedy.
Yep.
2 degrees away from John Kennedy. And you are, was it 1 degree away from Bobby Kennedy?
Or, well, I was in his
moving closer.
I was in his proximity. I didn't actually meet him.
That you were in the air. You were breathing the same air in the same room.
Yes.
Okay, that puts you. That's closer. We're going to give you that one.
Thank you.
So
that.
Sandy Widener is 1 degree away from Bobby Kennedy and 2 degrees away from John Kennedy and Jacqueline Kennedy, Jacqueline Onassis. So look at you.
All three people who I admired greatly. And really has such an influence on my life. When you think about it, I remember where, like most people, remember where I was when John Kennedy was assassinated.
I do, too. Yep. I do, too. Where were you?
I was at Lincoln School when we were notified. And I was in fifth grade at the time. We all trooped out by the Lincoln statue. And a lot of us cried. We understood the impact of a president being murdered. Yep.
I was in third grade. And I remember a little girl was coming down the hallway saying, the president was shot. The president was shot. And our teacher said, don't you ever say that. Don't you ever. And then she called the office and we all had to go down to the gymnasium. And our principal had a little portable TV set that we were able to see all the news on. And even though we're little kids, we were still shocked because we had never heard of this before, you know, assassination of a president. And yeah.
Kind of like you remember where you were when you heard about September 11th, the Twin Towers being.
I was in that room right over there, right in back of you. And our traffic reporter said, hold on, stop a second. He said, wait, something just happened there. A plane went into the World Trade Center. Oh, what an accident. Next report, he said, oh, my goodness, another one. And that's how we knew it. I was in that room on the air.
I was driving into work. I worked at Racine County at the time, and I was listening to my favorite radio station, which I've never been able to listen to again. Even though I know in my mind...
It's not us, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. I thought they were telling a joke. And when I went into work, I said, I'm never going to listen to this state, named the station. They just said that a plane flew into one of the Twin Towers.
Who was it? Tell me the station. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
Tell me the DJ.
No.
All right, we're off the air now. Tell me.
96.5.
Oh, KLH. Okay, I know those people.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm glad you can't listen to them anymore. you made my day. Okay. All right, let's talk about some serious topics here. Let's talk about the boycott that happened in the council. And the background is they wanted some rules reinstated. Am I right on that? And the rules were...
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
The council had changed an ordinance back in 2019, which... in effect, gave total control over whatever the council was to discuss to one individual. That would be the mayor. So the mayor could decide what items were discussed in committee. And then once those items were discussed in committee and the recommendation, he could decide when and if it came back to council for final approval. And in, you know, that ordinance was changed in August of 2024, but the mayor refused to allow it to come to council for a full vote. So the boycott just kind of happened organically. You know, one individual said, well, I'm not going to attend another council meeting until we have control over doing the city business. And then another alderman and then another. So what the boycott actually did is it eliminated the ability to have quorum at the council meeting. And quorum is a big deal as far as being...
Because you can't get anything done.
You can't get anything done. And that's why I want to mention to folks out there that live in the city of Racine to contact the mayor's office if they are interested in serving on any of the 19 city commissions, boards, or committees. Because a lot of those boards and commissions committees have a hard time meeting quorum because there are not enough people who have volunteered to be appointed to the city's boards, commissions, and committees.
So, but it's all settled now, right?
The boycott, yes.
It's all settled now. I'm not going to say who won and who didn't, but what was the outcome?
Well, the outcome was that the ordinance came to committee, to the council for a full vote, and the full council upheld the recommendation from the committee of the whole from August. So we changed the ordinance back to the council having control over referring any communication or any city business to the appropriate committee and then having the authority to send those recommendations on to the full council for final action. So it's not a matter of winner or loser. It's who has the authority to decide what business is going to be taken up and what the recommendations, if they're going to be voted on.
Anybody holding any grudges?
I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
I would hope not. I don't.
You know, I when I was in my 20s, I was at a station in Atlanta, WSB. Now, just before I joined, it was a union station, half union. And the union announcers went on strike, but the non-union announcers stayed there and filled in on the air. Now, I didn't work there at the time. The strike was settled, and they hired me later on, about a few months after that. And as soon as I got there, the union announcers and the non-union announcers came up to me and said, which side are you going to be on? Because they weren't talking. Here you have one. We had John and forget the guy's name in the morning. It was like a duo. One went on strike, one didn't. These two guys couldn't get along. Hence, they eventually had to end the morning show. They didn't like each other, and it came through on the air over this strike. So, yeah, if there's a grudge being held, especially on a radio, I mean, that's terrible. So, yeah, so I know how those grudges go. But you say no grudges. That's good.
No grudges. And there were, you know, two sides of this, really, on the council. There were those that did not believe in the boycott but believed in the end result, just wanted a different way of getting to that end result. And then there were some of us that participated in the boycott, did not like boycotting, and didn't even think of it as a boycott until the numbers grew to such that it eliminated the ability for the council to have quorum. So, you know, there were different opinions on the means to get to the end, but most of us, almost all of us, agreed on the ends. I think the vote was, final vote was 13-2, which ironically was the same vote that took place in May of 2019 when the council agreed to change the ordinance to what it was. And, you know, truth be told, the reason I left council in 2020 was because of the change of that ordinance. Mm. And then there was rumblings that, hey, maybe we shouldn't have done that, you know, unintended consequences. Or, you know,
woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yep. Hindsight is 2020, they say. Yep.
In just a moment, we're going to talk about how the average citizen, you don't have to run for election, but you can get involved with the committees.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the TID, which is the
Tax Incremental District.
We'll talk about that in just a moment. And the elections in general. Today's Election Day. Hope you're getting out and voting. The polls are open, right? 7 o'clock? Is that when they open up?
They're open, yes.
They're open. Get out there. There's always somebody who wants to be number one. They get that number one. Then they post it on the internet. I'm number one. You know, I've never been number one. I've been low numbers because when I used to, before I did the mornings here again, I used to get out there and vote early. And but I was like number four or five. I don't see any. Who was numbers one through three? I don't see anybody around here. Who beat me? Generally, Dave Mack beats me. He camps out. He puts a little tent on the front lawn of the polling place. And when they first open the door, he's running in there to be number one.
Well, the monkey wrench now is all the early voting and absentee voting.
But you still get a number on the polling day.
Okay.
All right, we're going to talk more with Sixth District. See, announcers can't say everything. Sixth District Alder Sandy Widener is here this morning. More coming up in just a moment here at WRJN. Local news, timeless hits.
$100 million. That's how much Eric Hovde spent in attack ads lying about Tammy Baldwin.
What's the real difference between them?
Tammy Baldwin has worked with Republican and Democratic presidents to bring manufacturing jobs back from China to Wisconsin.
Eric Hovde invests in companies that outsource Wisconsin jobs.
Tammy has taken on the big pharmaceutical companies to lower prices.
Hovde wants to restore their sweetheart deal so they can jack up prices.
Tammy Baldwin has always protected Social Security and Medicare.
Hovde has a plan to slash both to pay for trillions in new tax breaks for rich guys like him.
And Tammy Baldwin is leading the fight to restore Roe v. Wade.
Eric Hovde would back a national abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest.
Eric Hovde's millions can't hide the truth.
Tammy Baldwin's the one working for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Your one-stop holiday shopping spot is Santa's Boutique. It sets up December 6th inside the Fountain Hills Apartments in Racine. Enjoy hot chocolate, cookies, and find great gifts from vendors like Tastefully Simple, Color Street, Avon, Paparazzi Jewelry, The Pampered Chef, Tupperware, Mary Kay, and more. Santa's Boutique at Fountain Hills Apartments, where you'll find something unique. Shop Friday afternoon, December 6th, 1 to 5 p.m. at Fountain Hills Apartments, 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Racine. Brought to you by Fountain Hills and Compassus Hospice.
Fall in love with the March family all over again in Little Women, continuing this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild. The enduring tale of family, friendship, love, and adventure is a new adaptation of Louisa May Alcott's novel. Meg, Joe, Beth, and Amy play, quarrel, and dream of their futures in a nation torn apart by the Civil War. Navigating hardships and heartbreak, it's a tender, playful coming-of-age story that generations will find surprising, exciting, and empowering. Tickets and more info at racinetheater.org.
When the weather turns chilly, Ferraro's turns up the heat. This season of giving, get a little extra. Buy $100 in gift cards with cash, and Ferraro's will top it with a bonus $20 card. Don't miss November's cheesy ham and potato pizza with a beer cheese base, Canadian bacon, white potato, red onion, and topped with cheddar cheese. Plus, discover the tasty frozen pizzas just right for carryout or your upcoming fundraiser, bridging the warmth and flavor Racine craves. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue. We'll be right back.
The Racine Civic Center and the Legends Never Die Concert Series welcome Fleetwood Mac Tribute Act Secondhand News. Friday, November 22nd at Memorial Hall. Your spot on recreations of the Rumors era when Fleetwood Mac ruled the airwaves. Tickets for Secondhand News Friday, November 22nd at Memorial Hall are on sale now at the events page of festivalpark.com.
We're talking about very important things here, Sandy and I. We're talking about Godzilla Minus One, which came back to theaters this week in black and white and color. And the color version is called Godzilla Minus One. And the black and white version is Godzilla Minus One Minus Color. But so I was almost went on my wedding anniversary yesterday. That would have been a huge mistake. And I didn't make it. And today's election day. Maybe I'll wait till Wednesday or Thursday to go see Godzilla Minus One. But I got to see it because it came back. And this is the only Godzilla movie out of 31 movies in 70 years that actually won an Academy Award. So I got to see this one. They said it's the best Godzilla movie you'll ever see. And I've seen all 31 of them.
That's amazing.
And I'm not going to miss this one.
And you shouldn't.
It's the 70th anniversary of Godzilla. And I was in trouble because they weren't going to put it on DVD. Now they are. DVD, Blu-ray, and 4K. But they weren't at one time. I said, how am I going to see this? Because I missed it in theaters because my wife won't go to see it. She said, I'm not going. You go by yourself. I don't want to go by myself. I will now because they brought it back. And I'm not going to miss this opportunity to see it.
Older than Godzilla. Oh my gosh. Now I'm really depressed.
Yeah, Godzilla, 1954. You're older than Godzilla.
I'm older than Godzilla.
And you never won an Academy Award.
No, I did not.
Godzilla won. And I loved it when the people came to accept the Oscar, all the people from the Godzilla movie, they had little baby Godzillas they brought with them. They put it on the podium. They had them on the floor. So there's like 12 baby Godzillas.
I won a better award than that.
Did you really?
I did.
Then what'd you win?
The Whoopi.
What's the Whoopi Award?
Whistleblower of the year.
Oh, you won that?
I did.
Whistleblower, you snitch.
Well, you snitch. Know, you say tomato, I say tomato.
Remember, snitches get stitches and wind up in ditches. My neighbor told me that. I never heard that before. Snitches get stitches and wind up in ditches. Let's talk about the city committees. And you need people to be on these committees.
Absolutely.
And you do not have to be an elected official, by the way.
That is correct. So the city has 19 city commissions, boards, and committees. We currently have 53 vacancies. Some of our boards and commissions are struggling to meet quorum. That means they don't have they're supposed to be, for example, 11 people appointed, but there's only 7. So if 2 people don't show up, they can't take care of the business. So I would encourage anybody that would be interested in serving on the Parks Board or the Affirmative Action and Human Services Committee or the Community Development Authority, the Plan Commission. There's just so many opportunities out there, and we do need citizen participation because that's really what local government is all about. You know, you bring a different perspective that is so important to really guide and direct the city in the direction that you believe that it should go. So there's 2 ways you can get appointed to those committees. The mayor has to do the appointment, and then you're confirmed by the Common Council. But the easiest way really is to call the mayor's office at 262-636-9111 and let the mayor's office know you're interested in serving on a particular board or any board. Or you can go on the city clerk's website. There is an online application. But I really think a better way is to contact the mayor's office and let him know that you're interested in serving.
What's the time requirement? So how much time do you have to give up when you're on a committee?
It's not much. You know, an hour, maybe 2 a month, if that. It's not a lot of time. And it's very rewarding because then you know that you are part of the planning that takes place in the city behind the scenes.
It's not on Wednesday nights during Survivor, is it?
Well, some are. So evidently you would not want to serve on the Community Development Authority because they meet on Wednesday.
During Survivor? Okay, I guess I can DVR it if I had to. All right, so, and again, if you want to be in a committee, and how do people find out what committees are available to be on?
Well, the clerk's office has that information, but so would the mayor's office.
Okay. Let's talk about the TID districts. These are the tax incremental districts, right? I have that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So we have different kinds of tax incremental districts. I want to talk about the neighborhood TIDs, especially for the 6th District. The 6th District has two TIDs, the 27th and the 28th, and that's where you can apply for grants to either enhance your home or to address any building code violations that your property may have, or if you just want to make some improvements, replace your roof or a furnace. There's two kinds of grant applications. One is a 50-50 match. The other is a 90-10 match. And this year, in 2024, the applications came out from May 1st to May 31st. Next year, in 2025, I'd like people to watch their mailboxes because the notice of the TID application process opening is going to take place much earlier. So you can expect your little 5x8 or 3x5 postcard in the mail telling you application time is open. You can expect those in either January, February, or March rather than later in the year.
Let's talk about the elections. Election day, today's day to vote. And I always tell people, especially my daughter, if you don't vote, don't complain.
Absolutely.
If you, well, I don't like this tank. Well, then you should have voted. You don't have a right to complain if you don't vote.
And there are so many ways to vote now. You can mail in your ballot. You can vote early in person.
I know.
Or you can go on election day.
That's what I like to do. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. I just feel like you're part of the process. Who wants to go on a regular, you know, it's a Wednesday afternoon in October. I'm going to vote. No. It's got to be the first Tuesday in November.
Well, actually, I voted on Sunday at City Hall because I was curious to see how it worked. I showed up at 9 o'clock in the morning thinking I'll be the only one there. And there were 30 or 35 people lined up, ready and willing and voting on Sunday morning. And I think a reason for that is we only have half the polling places that we had a decade ago.
Really?
Correct. So, for example, the 6th District used to have two. We had one at Wadowitz and one at McKinley. And now we have one at Gilmore. So the polling place can be a lot more congested than it used to be because you've got more people coming into one polling place.
Well, my church is a polling place. They have a big sign, no early voting here. And you come on election day, you can vote there. And I asked one of the people, do they pay you? He says, no. They just ask you, can you be a polling place? And that's it. And you just, you know, just do
it. Well, I think they receive a stipend.
Oh, do they? Because the church, I don't think, is doing it. I don't think they're taking money for it. They may turn it down, but...
Well, the city had early voting for the last 2 weeks. They had early voting.
Well, this is not early voting. This is election day voting. Okay. You think so?
Well, I think they get paid a stipend.
Oh.
I think they do. I don't think the public...
Maybe I'll turn my backyard into a voting place, put a tent
there.
Up there
you go.
Come right in. Don't step on the dog poop, but come on in. Okay, so voting is today. Now, but nobody on the council is running for election now.
That's correct. The council and the mayor are nonpartisan offices. All the nonpartisan offices run in spring. So the difference is in the fall are the partisan politicians run. In the spring, the nonpartisans
do. But how do you know? Because I don't know who's Democrat and Republican. I never...
That's the beauty of local politics.
I don't know.
Your local representative represents you no matter who you are. And you'd like to keep it that way.
Now, we do have don't we have an election for the county board supervisor? The county board county executive?
We do. We have a special election
coming
up.
Because he passed away, Mr. Delagrave.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Oh,
I was talking to him 3 days before he passed away. He said he was going to come on the radio.
I had coffee with him a week before.
I know. Delagrave passed away. He was the county executive. So the election takes place today, special election? No.
The special election for county executive, there's going to be a primary in November. I think it's the week of Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact. And then the general election for the county executive will be in December. I think it's around Christmas time. So you really have to watch for that election because it's not getting a lot of publicity. And I know people think that they can vote for county exec during this election, but that's not the case.
I see the signs all over the place. Last thing, do you remember the names Gus Hall and Jarvis Tanner?
I do not.
You don't remember them?
You remember the name Eugene V. Debs?
No. Well, I'll mention, the reason I mentioned was, when I was a kid, they ran for president, those two. They were the Communist Party. And I remember going into my mother's, in the voting booth with my mom, and they saw the sickle and the arm, the communist, and it said Communist Party. Gus Hall and Jarvis Tanner, they ran every 4 years. They never got, you know, very few votes, but they ran. And I remember I was terrified to see that, the Communist Party. Because it was the time when, you know, they were going to bury you. Khrushchev said, we'll bury you, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. So yeah. I was terrified when I saw that in there. Now, those two aren't around anymore, obviously, but wow, that was scary to see that when I went into a voting booth. I don't think there's a Communist Party running anymore.
No, I don't think so.
You see some...
Green Party.
Liberty Party.
Libertarian. Yeah, Liberty.